Let's stand together, if you would, please. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. We'll dwell on that in a little bit, but we need to be very careful that we don't offend a child who is the Lord's. The Lord says it is better that he never be born, or that he have a millstone hung upon his neck, than that he offend one of his. Verse 3 says, Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. I would dare say all of us could agree with that, can't we? Increase our faith. Verse 6. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to look into your word. And Lord, as we have read, may we please not offend a young believer. And Lord, may we be willing to forgive. And Lord, if we have been the one who has trespassed, may we be willing to repent. And Lord, increase our faith. And Lord, we pray for that one today that doesn't know thee as Savior that is within our walls. May this be the day that they come to know thee as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Last week we had the story of the rich man and Lazarus there in Luke 16. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. Some have said maybe it was the rich young ruler who came to Christ and then left grieved. Lazarus was laid at the gate of the rich man and had his sores licked by the dogs, desired to eat what fell from the rich man's table. And we learned last week that at death, Lazarus was found in Abraham's bosom or paradise. And the rich man was found in hell, being in torments and begging for just a drop of water to be placed on his tongue. And the rich man then begged Abraham to send someone to his 5 brothers to testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. As it says in verse 28 of chapter 16. Then Abraham told the rich man that his brothers had the writings of Moses and the prophets. I mentioned that if one died and could come back and say only 2 words, those 2 words would be trust Jesus. That if they died and went to hell, they would come back and say 2 words, trust Jesus. Or if they've gone to heaven and they could only say 2 words, they'd simply be trust Jesus. And Sunday night after that message on Sunday morning, Debbie Muehlhoff said, I should have mentioned Joan Rivers, who had just died, saying that she, who was known for much talking, would say from wherever she is, trust Jesus. You know, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, you make a lot of decisions. I remember Donna and I, a number of years ago, were trying to invest some money, and the man that with which we were trying to invest money said, you know, if you go with me, he says, I'll make you a millionaire. Do you remember when he said that to us? He says, I will make you a millionaire. That's what he told me. And do you remember the crisis that things dropped? I was waiting to hear from him. I finally called his office and they said he moved to Arizona. I couldn't trust him. May I say this? You better not be putting your trust in your stocks and bonds and portfolio. You've no idea what they'll be worth tomorrow. Now, let's hope that we don't go into a recession or a depression. Some of you lived through a depression. But you can trust Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. And I tell you what, when you die, you better have a faith in Jesus Christ. I was talking to a funeral worker, funeral director a number of years ago, and he told me, he says, you can always tell the difference between one who knows Christ and one who doesn't. He says, you can tell by the people when they come to visit. You can tell by the attitude. He says, there is a difference. There's one of either of joy or one of sorrow. I would hope that when you pass away, and not anytime soon, and please not during the service, but I hope at your funeral there will be joy. Trust Jesus. But now we find that there are six verses that instruct us in faith and forgiveness. Verses 1 and 2, let's read them again. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Offenses will come. Offenses. If you looked it up in a thesaurus, you'd find that it means transgressions, insults, crime, malfeasance, wrongdoing. Offenses will come, and you may be offended by what some people do and say. But Matthew 18, 6 and 7, Jesus is talking about those that would offend a little child, warning them, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Offenses, in other words, denying them the Lord. See, that is an offense when we deny children access to Jesus. You know, I think it was sad when the public school said we'll no longer have Bible readings in school. It's an offense. When we expose them to wrong behavior, and may I say this, television offends in that way. The majority of what's on television today should never be watched by children. And you know, we offend them by what they see. Sometimes just taking them to the mall can be offensive. And you know, we live in a society that flaunts flesh, and we have offended our young girls and our young boys. And God warns and says, hey, it had been better that you'd never been born. You should be hung with a millstone about you and thrown into the depths of the sea. But then Jesus moves on to the subject of one that would trespass against you and your willingness to forgive. Let's read verse 3 once again. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Jesus is now saying there are those who are going to trespass against you. A trespass is an intrusion, a transgression, a trespass. If you looked up the word sin in a thesaurus, I hate saying that word, and now I've had to use it twice in the same sermon, thesaurus. When I get to heaven, the Lord will give me a tongue that will be able to say all the letters properly. I appreciate your willingness to watch me babble sometimes. Thesaurus. Is that close enough to the word? Thesaurus. If you looked up the word sin in that book that has these other words, you would find that the word trespass is under the word sin. It's to go or to take against the wishes of the homeowner or someone in charge, like Adam and Eve. They were told what not to do, and they did it anyways. It was a trespass. They were not to eat of that fruit. They stole the fruit and ate it. It was a sin. It was a trespass. Maybe you've seen the sign, and it'll say, "Posted, no trespassing." What does that mean? Don't go there. The Lord has signs that say, "Trespass, don't go there." He gave us the Ten Commandments. Are they not literally signs that are saying, "Don't go there"? He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Do we live in a world that have put other gods in front of the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the universe? In fact, we have people who have said, "There is no God. There is no creator. We're here by chance." They have sinned. They have crossed the line. They have gone into forbidden areas. He said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, and you're not to bow down before them." And yet we find that we have programs like American Idol where we worship these people. And we are brokenhearted. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've never seen the program, never once. I have no idea what it is. I've just heard about it. So if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, it's because I've never watched it. But may I say this, that there are people that get brokenhearted over what happens on that program. There are people who plan their whole day for that program. They bow down to that program. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." It's a holy name. Lord Jehovah. It's precious. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We need to remember that the Lord's day is special. Honor thy father and mother. Boy, that's something that doesn't go over well in today's world, is it? We have far too many children that are belligerent. Far too many children that look at their parents simply as money, and you better not get in the way of anything I want to do. They don't honor their father and their mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, we live in an adulterous world. We have fornication running rampant. We have a society that says that if it feels good, do it. God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet." He has put up the signs that said, "Don't go there. Don't go there." We find it says, "Take heed to yourselves." That means mark what has happened and don't go there. Be careful. "If thy brother trespass against thee." Remember, mistakes happen. Was the trespass intentional or by mistake? Did they do something without thinking, or was it intentional? "But if thy brother trespass against thee," Jesus says this, "if thy brother trespass against thee, go tell your friends, complaining that you have been sorely mistreated." Is that what the Bible says? But isn't that what most people do? Most people don't go to the person that offended them. They go to other people. They go to their friends. They try to get people to back them. "Oh, you poor thing. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have said that." They don't go to the person. They go to other people. That's not what God said, though, is it? Jesus said that you're to go to who? Go to him. If someone has offended you, go to him and rebuke him. Now, some of you would say, "Well, yeah, I'd like to rebuke him. Man, I'd like to grab him by the hair and shake him. I'd like to slap him upside the head. Yeah, I'd like to rebuke him." But you're to go to him. You're to discuss with him. You're to work it out with him. Boy, it's amazing how many times in marriages things could be solved if the woman would not go to her mother and complain, but would go and talk to her husband. It'd be so helpful if the man didn't go to the guys at work and begin complaining about his wife and say, "Man, I gotta put up with her and her," no, never mind, I was almost gonna say her dogs. You know, I couldn't say that if my wife didn't know that I loved her fully, right? And I know she loves her dogs, and I love my wife. I do not love your dogs. We'll talk about this later. She is rebuking me right in front of you, folks. I don't know if you can hear her, but I can hear her loud and clear. But you're to go to him, you're to discuss it with him, and you're going to work it out with him, and then you're going to what? You're going to forgive him. You know, if we don't go to that person, they may not even know they offended you. Here you're going to go through life angry at that person, and they don't even know it. So go and talk to him. And the key thought here is forgive him. Forgive, it means to pardon the offense, release from obligation. May I say this, forgiveness liberates. You ever been offended and you forgave that person? It liberates you. Unforgiveness cheats us of the Lord's peace. May I ask you this? Does the Lord forgive you? I was listening to a pastor the other day preach. He said he had in his church former homosexuals. He said he had in his church former drug addicts. He says he has in his church people who have divorced. He says, I have in my church people who have stolen, people who have been in prison. He says, the Lord has forgiven them. Should I forgive them? Yes. If God can forgive, we should be able to forgive, right? I mean, they hung Jesus Christ on a cross. And what did he say to the Lord, Heavenly Father? He said, forgive them, for they what? They don't know what they've done. And if he can forgive, we should be able to forgive. He was perfect. Are you perfect? Unforgiveness lies to us. If we won't forgive, we lie to ourselves and say, well, you just don't understand how badly I was hurt and it damaged me for life. Yeah. Unforgiveness hurts us mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually if we are not willing to forgive. Unforgiveness binds, it restricts. Unforgiveness chokes and destroys. Unforgiveness grows and grows, slowly gaining control. If left unchecked, unforgiveness begins to determine what we do and who we are. If we don't forgive, it will take control of our actions and our attitudes and our mindset, and it will destroy us. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Here we find in verse 4, it says, "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." To forgive. How important it is that we learn to forgive. If you would take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it's probably one of the areas of Scripture that most people could quote. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. And it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, these words, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we what? As we forgive." See, we want God to forgive, but oftentimes we want to hold grudges. No, we're to forgive also. We should be willing to forgive one another. And it continues, "And lead us not into temptation." See, if we're not willing to forgive, we'll be tempted to do wrong things. So be willing to forgive. Now, I'm not going to say it's easy. Sometimes it's some of the hardest things you'll ever do is to forgive someone. In fact, you may have to do it 550 times. You may have to over and over again say, Lord, I forgive them. Please take this thought out of my mind and let me go on. Give me peace, Lord. Because sometimes we have been offended and offended deeply. We have been hurt to the very quick. And yet we still need to be willing to forgive. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would please. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. The book of Ephesians. The Lord tells us to forgive. Is it any wonder that the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith? Because it's far easier to be angry and upset at somebody than it is to forgive them. And may I say this, even if they won't repent and they mock you, you still be best to forgive them. It's still best to forgive them when they get in your face and laugh at you and say, hey, I'm sorry you took it wrong, you little wimp. Yeah. There are times you have to forgive even when they're undeserving. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or your lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. May I say this, if you don't forgive, you give place for the devil to come in and infiltrate your life. If you will not forgive, you will allow him a spot in your heart where he can come in and grow. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Aren't you glad you can know you're saved? And sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving. May I say this, that if you don't forgive, you will become bitter. That if you don't forgive, wrath will be your desire. You'll become angry. There'll be clamor and evil speaking, and there'll be malice in your hearts if you don't forgive. Did I say forgiving was easy? Forgiving is hard. And if we were to begin here at the pulpit and work our way back and ask each and every one of you, have you been offended to the point that you cried and you said, Lord, I don't understand? Every one of us could probably stand up and testify of two or three things or more and say, I have been hurt. But forgive. Why should you forgive? Notice what it says there. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. There is a day in which all of us will stand before the God of the universe. And we had better stand there forgiven, covered by the blood of Christ, than stand there and try and say, Lord, well, you don't understand. And hear him say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And you'll be sent into hell. We need to be forgiven by our Lord. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to realize that I am a sinner. that compared to other men and women, I may be okay, but Lord, compared to your holiness, I fall far short. And I need to be forgiven. And I need to ask you, Lord, to be my Savior. And if you've never asked him to be your Savior, may it be done today. In a little bit, we'll have an invitation. We'll invite men and women to come here to the altar. And maybe you'll come and pray and ask for strength, or maybe you need to come and pray and ask for salvation. But we'll give you that opportunity in just a few minutes. Luke 17, 5 says, Lord, increase our faith. I never understand why a message happens on a certain day. And it could be that you need this sermon. Not too long ago, I was asked to preach at a pastor's meeting. And Brother Stephen was there with me, and Brother Stephen was one-fifth of the congregation. One-fifth. What's that tell you? There were five people there, right? And afterwards, one of the pastors came up and said, thank you, I needed that. You know, sometimes you're here for this purpose. You needed to hear what was being said today. Because sometimes the Lord will move. Because when I planned it, it wasn't to shoot at anybody. Remember, I never use a rifle. I always use a shotgun. And I let the Lord direct the pellets. Increase our faith, Lord. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, 382, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. His desire is that you'll come to him. His desire is that you will ask for forgiveness and that you'll live a life that will honor him. Shall we pray, dear Heavenly Father? We ask now that you would bless what was said. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. May souls be saved. May there be joy amongst the angels in heaven over what has happened here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.